We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. So, President Trump is a lot of things. He is coarse. He can be boorish. He can be impolite. His tweets can be downright annoying. But he's not a traitor. Now, there's a lot in the special counsel's report. What do we know of it? What will we know of it? Well, I wanted to go to somebody who has dealt with federal cases his entire career. Of course, our friend Jimmy Galliano. You see him on CNN all the time as their chief law enforcement analyst. But don't forget, Jimmy is retired after a thoroughly distinguished career with the Federal Bureau of Investigation as a supervisory special agent. Jimmy, thank you for being here.
Jeff, I cannot even imagine what you want to discuss today. Is it the fact that we are close to opening day and your beloved Red Sox and my beloved Atlanta Braves are getting close to starting the season? Is that what this is all about?
I thought we would talk about the retirement of Gronk and really how it impacts all of us moving forward. But I guess we can get to that at some point, right?
Absolutely. I could only be so lucky to talk pop culture and sports with you, but I know there are important matters at hand.
There are indeed. Okay, so here's what we heard. No collusion. Explain to us what that means, and is that correct?
Okay. So we've got an investigation here that's gone on for about 2 years, countless man hours, millions of dollars. And look, at the onset, there was a noble genesis of this. And the genesis of this investigation, if we're to believe what we're told, and I do, is the investigation into the Kremlin's meddling in our 2016 election. Now, look, Russia's not the only bad state actor that tries to do this and probably does it the most effectively. North Korea does, Iran does, China does, but they're probably the most successful bad state actor at that. So that counterintelligence investigation was the genesis of what ultimately turned out to be, Jeff, the Trump collusion case. Now, you and I have discussed this before. Collusion is not a crime. It is, you know, working with, you know, it's essentially a conspiracy. But in this instance, it is not necessarily a crime, especially on the federal side. But obviously, none of us want to know that our chief executive, the president of the United States, would be working with a hostile state actor to undermine our democratic process. And from everything that I've read, and I've only, just like you and everybody else, read the four-page executive summary from the Attorney General William Barr, but it was unequivocally stated by Robert Mueller and his team of investigators and prosecutors that there was no collusion, not only between Donald Trump and the Kremlin, but anyone associated with the Trump campaign, the Trump transition team, and the Trump administration.
Okay, and in that portion of it, we hear no collusion. There's no cooperation then between Russia, which is actively trying to do a lot of things. And as you point out, Jimmy, this is every single day, right? They have entire divisions in Russia, North Korea, Iran. They do nothing but try and undermine confidence in the United States and also disrupt the actual the apparatus of our functioning, right?
Absolutely. And look, let me go back to the first director of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, who back in either 1958 or 1959, Jeff, he wrote a book called Masters of Deceit. Mm-hmm. And in that book, obviously he didn't understand what computers were, didn't understand the Internet of Things. There wasn't the technological advancements that we have here in 2019. But he warned of the Kremlin trying to work to undermine our democracy because what does that do for the former Soviet Union, the former, you know, communist government? It instills in their minds that, hey, you see this grand experiment that the United States has been using for 243 years. You see, it's just a farce. It's not real. So it's a very real threat that the United States has to take seriously. I'm assuming that that's what's happened over the last, I don't know how many decades. It wasn't something that I worked. It's more the counterintelligence side of things, but it's something that's a very, very real threat.
Let's talk about obstruction of justice and some of the indictments, because this, as this gets played out in the political world, and let's be honest, Jimmy, everything here gets played out in the political world.
Right.
President Trump, for the most part, is saying no collusion, no obstruction. It was a witch hunt. I told you this all along. Can we please get back to the business of government? You have folks on the Democrat side saying, well, now, wait a minute. Sure, there was no collusion, but... Special Counsel Mueller says he didn't come to a decision on obstruction of justice and, quote, no exoneration. Now, enlighten all of us, Jimmy. Can you be exonerated of something if you haven't been charged with a crime or convicted of a crime?
Yeah. And Jeff, I got to tell you, this was the most Comey-esque statement by Robert Mueller, who's a guy. You're going to like that one. I figured you will. The most Comey-esque statement, because Robert Mueller is a by-the-book guy. You know, I have great affection and affinity for him. I, even though I disagree with many of the things he did while he was in the FBI and he was the FBI director, I know he's an honorable man, a decent man, a man who's going to follow the evidence, follow the facts. And I've stated all along, no matter what happened at the end of the conclusion of this investigation, he would have no problem saying, here's what I have. If there's something there, I'll bring the pain. If there's no there, mm-hmm. as we've now found out, I'm not gonna say something that's not there. Now, the obstruction of justice piece. Look, the difficulty in obstruction of justice, and again, 25 years in the FBI, I never was able to convince the U.S. Attorney's Office to ever prosecute somebody for lying to me. And that happens all the time, every day, and six times on Sunday. And obstruction of justice, another difficult decision to get the U.S. Attorney's Office to bring. They do it sometimes, but not often. People have argued, well, look what happened in the Martha Stewart case. You know, she was not convicted on insider trading, on a stock fraud charge, but she was convicted of obstruction of justice. Yes, but she also pled guilty in a civil case and paid $195,000 back to the SEC. So there's a little difference here. Now, the difficulty is, as you pointed out at the top of this block, we have a wholly intemperate, unconventional, fly-by-the-seat-of-his-pants with what he says president, where you could argue that some of the things that he said, if another president said that, people would be arguing obviously the same thing for impeachment. Now, yeah. That's the issue, and I think what happened here was Robert Mueller looked at it as a career prosecutor and a career investigator and said, I just don't have the evidence there on intent, and without intent, mm-hmm. you cannot prove obstruction of justice. So it looks like he punted it back across the street over to the Attorney General's office, and the Attorney General made a decision that this is not going to be something the Department of Justice is going to pursue.
All right, so that's William Barr, the Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General, review all of this, and that is the whole decline to prosecute. There's nothing there. Now, Jimmy, let me take you one step further. I remind everybody, Jimmy Galliano is joining us, a retired supervisory special agent, 25 years with the FBI. Let's talk about some of the other players. James Comey, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Loretta Lynch, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama. Are we now going to see investigations of what they were doing at this time?
Well, I think the guy that won the internet yesterday was Lindsey Graham. And I don't know, Jeff, if you saw the picture that James Comey posted yesterday.
Yes.
It's a picture of him in it, just for the listeners here, so I can paint a picture of him standing in a forest of redwoods, all 6'8" of him, looking up pensively into the sky with this faux reflective look on his face, and he types out so many questions. Well, Lindsey Graham won the internet because he retweeted that and then said, you're right, there's so many questions. We'll be talking to you real soon. And that's where I think we're headed here is that there are a number of things. First of all, the president is not out of the woods either. And, okay. And let me just give you a quick rundown of where we're at with that. The Southern District of New York is looking into things from the Michael Cohen prosecution and possible federal election campaign law violations. Now, people can argue that the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels and to Karen McDougal weren't hush money for purposes of, you know, keeping it from federal elections inspectors. And that can be an argument. But that's being looked into. The state of New York, the attorney general, is also looking into things. You know, you've got a number of, you know, Trump charities and things like that. look, I've said all along that I thought his biggest exposure was going to come from those type of investigations, former business dealings and things like that, tax issues, things like that. And then you've got an unleashed House of Representatives right now that is armed with subpoenas. And now that the collusion deal was put to bed, they are chomping at the bit. And here's the thing, Jeff. Their bandwidth is not restricted like the special prosecutor's was. He had a very narrow scope of investigation that he could pursue. The House of Representatives, Jared Nadler, Adam Schiff, Swalwell, that crew, there's no bandwidth there. They can look wherever they want to. And trust me, I don't think that they're going to sit back, be circumspect, look in the mirror, reflect on the fact that they've been pushing this collusion thing without Evans for so long. I think they're going to come hot and heavy.
All right. So let's say they do come hot and heavy. Does the Department of Justice under William Barr function then with the same sort of concern as the Department of Justice under Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch when Trey Gowdy and his committees were investigating things when they basically said, oh, yeah, we were out of the office. We didn't get that subpoena.
Yeah, that's Jeff, that is the million-dollar question that you posed right there. And I know you were tossing it up there like catnip or like putting it on a tee for me. But the issue, as you know, is always the fact that the person at the head of the Department of Justice is a political appointee. The entire Department of Justice is made up of career professionals. I couldn't tell you who the prosecutors I work with throughout 25 years voted for, who they supported. We never talked about that stuff. Mm-hmm. The same thing with the FBI. But at the top of the Department of Justice, it is a political appointee. People have argued, and I agree with them. I've argued the same thing, that Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch led two highly politicized Department of Justices. And some on the other side, Jeff, are arguing that the reason President Trump chose William Barr was because William Barr had argued earlier, while he was a private citizen, that he did not believe that, first of all, there was collusion there. Now we know that was true, but also that the president was guilty of obstruction of justice. So, yeah, we're going to be dealing with that, with each side rattling their sabers and claiming the other side's guilty of you know, political influence. It's going to be a lot of hypocritical folks shouting at each other, I fear, going forward for the next year or two or possibly six.
So I want you to explain, if you don't mind, the phrase process crimes, because we've heard about, well, General Flynn as an example. He, we're told, there was, obviously there's no collusion. He didn't do anything illegal there, but he still gets convicted of a crime. He lied under oath. How can you be convicted of a crime, of covering up a crime that wasn't actually a crime?
Yeah, and Jeff, legal scholars have been debating that for eons, and it's a good point. So the argument is, first of all, what is a process crime? A process crime is a crime that takes place during the investigation of an alleged criminal activity. So in this instance, the argument was that the Trump campaign or Trump associates were engaged in collusion with the Kremlin. So as the FBI and the Department of Justice and then the Special Prosecutor's Office begins to pursue those leads and ask questions and knock on doors and serve subpoenas to people and put folks in the grand jury, if you lie to an FBI agent, and a lot of people don't know this, but Title 18, United States Code, you know, Section 1001, it is up to a five-year hit. It is a felony. It is a crime. And it's the same thing with obstruction of justice. If somebody is trying to impede an investigation, it could be as much as if there's a traffic fender bender outside and I'm a police officer and I try to go over and investigate it and a couple of citizens run up and try to stop me from getting over to see who hit who. And that's obstruction of justice or obstruction of governmental administration. The same thing with threatening witnesses or, as some on the left have suggested, dangling pardons, saying, you know, well, you know, there's a pardon available. So that's what a process crime is. Doesn't mean that it's any less a crime. But some have argued that if there's no underlying scheme, people should not be hit over the head with a cudgel for process crimes on a scheme that was non-existent.
How bad, at the end of the day, do Jim Comey and Andy McCabe look as a result of all of this?
Well, I take no enjoyment in criticizing the two of them because, first of all, as we've talked about before, Andy McCabe served on the SWAT team I led back in the early 2000s. By any way, shape, or form, he was a good operator and a good agent. It pains me to see what's happened with the lying three times under oath and some of the dubious decisions that he made in regards to the Russian collusion investigation, as well as the 2016 Hillary Clinton email investigation. Look, Jeff, I mean, perfectly put, what kind of exposure do they face? Well, McCabe, he's not out of the woods yet on the criminal referral to the Department of Justice over the perjury charges, the fact that he lied under oath to the DOJ's inspector general during an investigation of a leak to the Wall Street Journal. So he's not out of the woods there yet. And then also the inspector general has one more big report to drop. And Jeff, it could happen any day or it could happen 6 months from now. I don't have any inside information, but the inspector general, Michael Horowitz, was charged with investigating the decisions made to open up the counterintelligence investigation that ultimately turned into the Russian collusion, Trump-Russia investigation. Mm-hmm. And I think folks that you named, Comey and McCabe and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and Bruce Orr at the Department of Justice and some other folks, I think they are going to – I don't know if they'll face criminal exposure. I think that would be a complete leap in speculation. But I do believe that there might be some sanction or censure from the inspector general. I do think that's coming when those FISA applications that were based on a shoddily put together, completely politically influenced dossier was used as the predicate instrument to open up a FISA. I think that is where you're going to see the most criticism, censure, and sanction come from the inspector general's report that when it comes down, you and I will be talking about it when it happens. Could happen any time.
All right. Yeah, listen, I could go on, and we haven't even gotten to, what is it, the Braves you follow? the Red yes. Sox and Gronk and the rest of it. But listen, Jimmy, I can't tell you how much we always appreciate you making time for us, and we'll look forward to talking again soon, my friend.
Anytime, brother. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. That is Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, truly the best of the best. And just so you understand how well-regarded you are, Jimmy Galliano, throughout the last week, and especially since Friday as the Mueller report dropped, has received probably 100 different phone calls from people wanting his insight. CNN saying, we need you at this time, we need you at this time, we need you at this time. And he carved out time for you and for me. He's a good guy. We're happy to have him on the team. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.